Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the first shiur in a, as a Hashem, a new series of weekly halacha shiurim. My pleasure, and Rabbi Singer and Nicole for arranging this, putting this together. It's my intention to discuss various topics, no specific order, with the exception perhaps of things around, perhaps around the Yom Tovim and other occasions to speak about things that are, as we say, Inyana Deyuma is a possibility. But in general, the main matar, the main goal is to speak, I like to try to speak very much, very halacha l'maisit and such, discuss topics which are relevant and to discuss points in these topics, different areas which are, as I said, very relevant, but sometimes not areas that people aren't so well aware of, and to try to go into the detail and to clarify what the halacha is to, as Hashem, to the best of our ability. So the first topic which I chose to speak about is the topic of Kedusha Svarim, about the treating Svarim with the proper cover, the proper sanctity. What is okay and what is not okay to do with Svarim or around Svarim, etc., when using Svarim. And I think this topic is extremely relevant because, first of all, we all have Svarim and work with Svarim. Baruch Hashem, we have Batei Medrash and shulim that are mali with Svarim, and homes as well. It's one of the brachas of Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us in this dar that there is, for the most part, no shortage of Svarim, both in terms of the Svarim that we need on a regular basis, Sidurim and Chumashim and Gemaras and whatnot. And as we know, many, many more Svarim that we use even on an occasional basis, the Svarim of Rishonim and Achronim, and people are constantly writing new Svarim. So we have Svarim all around. I was thinking about this. It reminded me, I once heard from the Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Shlita's the Rosh Beis Din of the CRC based in Chicago. He's a man, Knanahara, now in his mid-90s. He told us that when he was going to yeshiva back in the day, and he was going to be going to yeshiva, and they were going to be learning Maseches Yevamos, and he didn't have a Gemara or any way of really just going out. He couldn't just run out to the Svarim store or certainly not order online and get a Gemara. So what happened, his mother, I'm not sure if his father was living anymore, his mother went to the home of the local Rav, and she knocks on the door, and the Rav is like a stern yes. And she said, you know, in Yiddish, she says, I'd like to borrow a Gemara Yevamos. And he says to her, in Yiddish, of course, what does a woman want with a Gemara Yevamos? And she said, well, I have a son who's going to yeshiva, and he'll be learning Yevamos. He needs a Gemara. Said, oh, yeah, bizarre, fine. And he lent her his Gemara. That's how he got a Gemara, to go to take yeshiva. He had to go to the local Rav and borrow Yevamos from his. I don't think he either had probably, you know, numerous shasin or Gemaras. It was probably, I fair to assume, it's probably his only one, and he left him his Gemara Yevamos so that the yeshiva bacha should have a Gemara. But things have changed, Baruch Hashem, and that's typically not the way we get a Gemara when we send our children off to yeshiva or when we're learning a new Seder. It's different now. So Svarim are all around us, and that brings with it an achrayus, a increased achrayus of having an awareness of how do we treat Svarim, what's the proper way of treating Svarim. And there are specific halachas about this, as we will, as Hashem, see. Now, there are different levels of Svarim. Everybody knows, everybody's familiar with the idea that a Sefer Torah we treat with the utmost Kedusha and care. Sefer Torah has very, very specific halachas, but Sefer Torah is being transported from one place to another. You have to stand in deference and covenant for the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, we know it's a davar chomer, you have to be very careful never to touch the klaf of the Sefer Torah. If Chas V'Shalom, a person drops the Sefer Torah, he fasts, and according to some, even other people who are in the room who see the Sefer Torah may also fast. The Sefer Torah, we know there are many, many halachas that have to do with the Kedusha and Sefer Torah, and we're all familiar with that, and how the way you carry a Sefer Torah, and etc. So that's very well accepted in Klal Yisrael, the Kedusha of Sefer Torah. That's the highest madrega. On a second level is a madrega of Nevi'im and Ksuvim that are written on klaf, written on parchment with ink, as they have here, and then many other Batei Medrash have, which do not have the same kedusha of a Sefer Torah. You do not have to stand when they're being carried, but there are still halachas in terms, for example, in terms of touching a Navi. The Rama says in Arachayin Siman Kuf Mem Zayin that one should be nizhar not to touch the parchment of a nach unless he's washed his hands, which means that typically there's a concept called stam yodayim. Stam yodayim means that my hands right now, even if I haven't necessarily washed them specifically that they should be clean, but I don't know, I'm not aware that I've touched anything to make them unclean or halachically unclean, which include haven't touched anything which is actually dirty, or haven't touched a covered part of the body, or my shoes, etc. There's a whole list of things that make things make the hands halachically unclean in Siman Daled of Orach Chaim. So stam yadayim means that I'm not aware. I don't know that my hands are dirty. So the halacha is they're kasha lebrachas. I can make a bracha with stam yadayim. I can learn Torah with stam yadayim. I don't have to wash my hands before I sit down and learn a seder. When it comes to touching the cloth of a navi, stam yadayim, one should be knowing that stam yadayim is not okay. You should wash your hands specifically. Once you've washed them, then it's mutter to touch the cloth of the navi. The sefer Torah, not. Even if you washed your hands, you're not allowed to touch the cloth of the sefer Torah. But the cloth of a navi, you can touch once you washed your hands. When it comes to... Well, typically it's right after davening anyway, at least in shul it is, and once you've washed your hands for davening, and the assumption is that that's more than stam yadayim, they're still clean. If a person is laying in his home, then yes, he should, before he's gonna fold it, he's gonna roll it, etc., then he should he should wash his hands. It's brought not as a chi of gomer, but as a hiras nachona to do that, to wash it. That's what I'm saying. Megillah. So
right,
exactly. So I'm saying. So if it's during davening, whether you're the Baal Kari or you have your own megillah during davening, well, you've washed your hands presumably, because I should mention for tefillah also, stam yadayim are not lechatchila are not good for tefillah. Once there's an obligation besides in the morning when you wash your hands, but even for mincha or ma'ariv, one should wash his hands before davening, and then when you go straight to the laning, that's fine. If you're laning at home, not part of davening, you should actually it's proper to wash hands before. Okay, now when it comes to other svarim, the more common case, which is, I mentioned, the svarim that we have all over the shelves and tables and of the base medicine of our homes, so there that's a third madrega. Now there's a discussion bechlal. They're not, the svarim that we use now aren't handwritten altogether. There are svarim that are handwritten, such as a notebook of Divrei Torah, such as this, that's handwritten, but it's still not written on klaf and not written with yo. It's not the madrega of, even if I were to write psukim of the navi in here, it would not have the madrega of the navi that's written on klaf. And many svarim are not handwritten. They're tefus. Most of our svarim that we're dealing with are printed. So there's a whole discussion in the poskim of what is the status of printed svarim. Now this is going back to the original printing press, from the time that there was a printing press, so there were tshuvas and discussions in halacha about what is the status of printed svarim. Do they bechlal have the din of a sefer? Do they have the kedusha, the sanctity of a sefer? Or are they something else? And many, many poskim say that they do have kedusha. Again, not the same madrega as a written sefer, or certainly as a sefer written with Jo on the klaf, but kedusha, yes. And the halachas that we're going to discuss are pertinent, are relevant to these svarim, which is why we need to have this discussion. If the answer would be no, we could go home or change the topic. But since most poskim say that yes, one should be nizhar even in printed svarim, then we have to learn the various halachas. Now, the Taz specifically is one of the achronim that's quoted, the Taz, in two places in Yeridaya, Siman Reish Ayin Aleph and Siman Reish Pei Dalet. And his lashon, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Tefillin, actually, in Simon Mem, Sivkat and Dalet, quotes the Lashon of the Taz, where he says that Kol HaMekel BeKedusha Svarim HaNitfasim, anyone who is lenient about the sanctity and the treatment of printed Svarim, Asid Litinus Hadin, will eventually have to answer for it. Which is not something we don't want to have to deal with. So that's extra motivation. He means to bring out the point that this is for real. This is not just like some chumrah and a nice thing to do, but no, it's real that Svarim, even printed Svarim, have Kedusha. The Mishnah Berurah does bring down from the Tshuvas Chavos Yoyer, who, the way Mishnah Berurah brings it, says that one could be mekel b'shas hadchak. He's talking specifically there, talking about a situation where a person lives in a very, very small quarters, a very small house or room or whatever it is, and he doesn't have anywhere to leave his svarim other than in his own bedroom where he sleeps, and he's talking about a married individual, and he doesn't even have what to cover them with. And one of the halachas, which we may or may not touch on, is that svarim cannot be left in the bedroom of a married couple. It's best they not be there altogether, but if they have to be there, they must minimally have to be covered with a double covering, what's called kis b'soch kis. And this person wasn't able to do that. He had nothing to cover them with, no way to put them. So the Chavos Yar is, the way it seems from the way it's brought down, is Mekel B'Shas Hadchak, that he could, since they're printed Svarim, not handwritten, that he could leave them there. L'mais, if you look in the Chavos Yar is in Simen Kuf Pei Dalet, I believe, if I see it differently, I'll tell you in a moment. Yeah, Kuf Pei Dalet. If you look at the Chavos Yar, he's really... the way I think it's pretty clear, you can look it up yourself, he's not being makel on the basis that they're printed. That, he says, he feels they do have Kedusha, but it's the fact that they're printed by Akum, by Ovdei Avodah Zarah, by Einam Yehudim. He says if they be printed by Yehudim, by Yidden, then he feels that they would have the Kedusha of Svarim, just as all the other Chonim say. And he was after the Taz, he mentions the Taz. But he says since they're printed by Goyim, so that's a different story, because the person who does it, the person that creates it, has an effect on the level of Kedusha. And that's where he's Mekel. And even there, he's very clear to say it's only B'Shas Hadchak Gadol that he's being Mekel. But also, it's only because they're printed by Goyim. So, you know, the Svarim that we have, I'm sure many of them are not. Many of them are printed by their plenty of Yiddish publishing houses and probably employ many Yidden, etc. So we don't even necessarily have the kula of the Chavos Yar. But in any case, the Chavos Yar is, I wouldn't say a das yachid, but he's certainly in the minority, and he's only being mekel b'shas
halchak. Is there a difference between the fact that back then printing was very much a rule of your hand, now today it's a push of a button?
Okay, so yeah, yes, there is a difference, at least on the discussion level. It's a valid point to bring up, because in fact, part of what the Taz says, when the Taz says why did they have Kedusha, he says, what's the difference whether you push the ink with the pen against the paper, or you push the paper against the rubber words, whatever it is, which is not what's happening anymore in printing. So the Poskim do the, obviously, much more contemporary Poskim discuss. And by the way, a lot of what, a lot of the research I did is from the sefer called Ginzei HaKodesh by Rabbi Cheskel Feinhandler. It's a very, very, it's a beautiful sefer, an excellent sefer on this, in the inyanim of Kedusha Svarim and Geniza of Svarim and the like. So he brings a discussion amongst the contemporary Poskim about whether today's printing, laser printing and digital printing and whatever we have out there. And they acknowledge that it's still Nacham Adrega, without going down another step. It's another level down, because it's not the way the Taz described it. But Afal Pikein, most of the posts can feel that one should still treat them with the same halacha, certainly under normal circumstances, when we're not dealing with Shas Hadchak or Makom Tzarech, one should still deal with the same level. And before we go, I just want to mention the Lashonis used by some of the of our Chachamim, that Svarim are considered like Bigdei HaMelech, like the king's royal garb, royal garments. The Lashon of the Peleoites, and he writes, the Peleoites writes, Ki Hamevaza, o someone who degrades Svarim, treats them in a non respectful manner. Dvar Hashem Baza Chas V'Shalom. It's like he's disregarding and degrading the word of Hashem. Ki Heim Chashuv in Bigdei HaMelech, they considered the royal garments of the king. V'chala Mechabed Es HaTorah, it's a mission in Perek Yav, as Guf HaMechubad Al Briyas, Kama Chabed Es HaTorah Guf HaMechubad, V'hi HaNosenesh Sheyizke L'Kisro Shatara. A person could be Zaycha to the Keser HaTorah by one of the ways, or one of the things that'll assist in his achieving Keser HaTorah. One of the ways is by learning, but it helps, it supports this goal, achieving this goal, by being Nisar in the Kedusha Svarim. Okay, now one of the halachas I want to discuss. Well, before we, let's first discuss touching the Svarim, because I mentioned the din of touching, not touching a Sefer Torah at all, not touching a Navi unless you wash your hands. By regular Svarim, the din is Stam Yodayim, are kosher. To touch a Sefer, you don't have to wash your hands, as long as they're Stam Yodayim, meaning I'm not aware that they're dirty, they're in the same matzah, the same status that I could make a bracha now, and I could learn, I could also touch a Sefer, no problem. You don't have to be machmir that at all. However, if you know that your hands are not clean, and not clean meaning, again, like I said, either there's something, actually, you touch the mud, there's some mud or other type of substance on your fingers that makes them dirty, or you touch your shoe, you touched above your elbow, you touched below the collarbone, let's say, a part of the body that's normally covered, which the halacha says that makes your hands at least halachically unclean. You can't say a bracha now, and you can't learn Torah without washing your hands, or at least wiping them off on something abrasive, wiping them off on this table, and carefully, not just, you know, a little bit like this, but wiping them carefully front and back on a beged or on a table or something like that. You have to do that minimally. That works to clean your hands. It's not good enough for davening. It's certainly not good enough for negel v'aseh, but it's good enough to say a bracha. It's good enough to learn. So if your hands, you know them to be not clean, halachically not clean, you're not supposed to touch a sefer, even if you're not learning. You're just being misadar, you're just putting the sfarim away, or something like that. So you have a need or a desire to touch a sefer. You should not touch the sefer if you know that your hands are not clean.
Speaking of the sfarim with psukim davka, or just any
Torah? Okay, thank you for mentioning that. But we are speaking about any type of sfarim, lav davka psukim. We're talking about even Torah Shabbat al-peh, and not davka the words of the Mishnah of the Gemara, the words of Abayin Rava, but even the, like a sefer such as this one, which is quoting things. It's the lashon of the contemporary Machaber, but it's Divrei Torah, Torah Shabbat al-peh, whatever it is, they're all in the same gather. Yes, other languages as well. They have the same status of Kedusha. Now, whether there's a whole discussion in Poskim, whether the Shem Hashem written in a foreign language, does that have the same status? There's a big discussion, might be a topic for another time. Or saying Shem Hashem in a different language, could that be considered mostly Shem Shem Levatal or not? But Svarim Divrei Torah in any language have Kedusha. And in some of the places we might mention, it says Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch that it makes no difference what kind of sefer it is. Sometimes it doesn't say, but that is the rule. If we're talking about Svarim, any type of Divrei Torah, including your own Chedushim. You write your own Chedushim down, and it's... Your higher level?
The higher level of Kedusha. Your own Kedushim, you put it on top of the Chumash, because it's Niskis Fayar, the person.
Okay, so you should, you know, on top of, well, we didn't speak about on top, what goes on top of that, but yes, if it's not, so you don't mean because you're on Kedusha, you mean if it's written, handwritten, yeah, handwritten has a mila over the foot. Yes, because handwritten is certainly the taz and more. It's not klaf and it's not dio, but it's not real dio. Well, maybe it even is, depending on what you use. But it's, yes, it does have a mila over. In other words, a sefer with a Torah Baal Peh in handwriting has a mila over Torah Baal Peh in fuss. It does. Okay, now... Okay, so we're saying, so by the Svarim, you, as I said, if your hands are dirty, you shouldn't touch them. What happens if a Sefer falls? Everybody knows a Sefer falls on the floor. That's elementary. You don't leave a Sefer on the floor. You pick it up. So what happens if a Sefer fell, but your hands are dirty? So you can say HaKadosh brings from a number of the Poskim that you shouldn't wait to go out and wash them or necessarily do a thorough, but do a quick rub to, you know, get them, you know, if you know that they're dirty, again, you know they're dirty, so rub them quickly on something that cleanses them and pick up the sefer. Okay, now, one of the halachas which I want to speak about, which I think is very pertinent, which I think there seems to be a lack of awareness in some parts, is that there's halacha, there's a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, Simen Reish Pei Beis Se'if Dalet, Se'if Hei, Simen Reish Pei Beis Se'if Hei, where the Ramah writes the following, V'asr lahapoch oso or oson al pneihim. It is forbidden to place a sefer al panav, which will translate momentarily. If you find a sefer that's tzarech lahafcha, you have to invert it, return it over. So what's al panav? So al panav, Leonidas Daiti, does not mean this. It doesn't mean this is the front of the sefer. Al panav doesn't mean this way. Al panav means like this. So the sefer is open and you put it down like this. An open sefer, you put the pages down with the binding up. That's called leaving a sefer al panav. This iser comes from a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Erev and Daf Tzadi Ches, where it talks about somebody who's on Shabbos is learning on a roof and a rooftop, and he's reading. He's using a sefer that's a glila, a sefer that you roll up, and it got one end of it got out of his hand and rolled all the way down the wall. And it's talking about a case where he's not allowed to pull it back. It reached a certain point. There are details there, but it reached a point where it's an isser of motzi mirishus l'rishus. He's not allowed to roll it back because he's sitting on a roof, which is a rishus hayachid, and now the sefer is in a rishus harabim or a karmelis, so he's not allowed to take it back. So he has the sefer now. It's all rolled out at Shabbos, and it could be 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be there, and then Shabbos is not over till 7 p.m. And the sefer has to stay that way because it's you're not allowed to be docha Shabbos to pull it back. So the Gemara says he should at least turn it around so that the ksav is against the wall. And the Gemara says, "What? You're not allowed to do that. You can't put a sefer al panim." In this circumstance, it's the least of the two evils. Better than leaving it totally exposed is to put it with the ksav against the wall, which is normally not mutter, but it's better to do that here than to leave it exposed. So that's the source of this halacha, that you can't have a sefer, put a sefer al panim. And it says elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya that even if a sofer is writing a sefer Torah, and he needs to walk away, and he doesn't want the ksav that he just wrote, maybe it's still a bit wet, he doesn't want it to dust or anything else to settle on it, because it could even stick, the ink is still somewhat wet. So he says still he should not turn it over, he should find something to cover with, cover the ksav, but don't turn it over. So turning a sefer over is not mutter, and it's brought to Shulchan Aruch, as I said, just like that, Asul HaPochaz Al-Panim, Ukishematzot Tzarech LaHafcho. And if you look on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, the old Shulchan Aruch, it's right on the page, and some of the newer ones they put into the Kovetz Mefarshim, which also on the page, from the Shiurei Bracha, where he says, he's mochiach, he gives toichacha, he admonishes the oilam she'inim nisharim azeh, that they're not careful about this. And he says, when they're looking at a sefer, and they get called up for Kriya Satara, lamash, they're learning Ben Gavra, you're allowed to look in the sefer, you shouldn't be speaking, shouldn't be talking, even to retar Ben Gavra, but you're allowed to look in the sefer, Ben Gavra, Gavra, and you're looking in a sefer, and then they call you up. You open the sefer the moment, you know, the person finished, the moment the Balkari finished, and then they call you up. So he says they take the sefer they're using or the Tehillim they're using, and they put it al panav. They put it down that way because they don't want to lose their place. They want to know where they're up to. So they just put it down that way. And he writes that it's a wrong thing. He gives the Olam Tochacha for this. And he says, "V'kasav she'asidim litin hasadin alzeh." The same lashon the Taz used by one who's mevazes svarim and tefus. "Asidim litin hasadin alzeh." So, yes. So then we get to one momentarily. Unfortunately, this is a common thing, especially I notice of all times on Yom Noram, when people are using a machzor and using it all day, or Yom Kippur using it all day, Yom Rosh Hashanah using it often, and you might, some people talk to have a machzor and a tehillim because there are certain junctures, certain, you know, places in the davening where you may be allowed to say tehillim, and they're doing that, or even if it's just a machzor, and sometimes it's because it's bound very tightly, and it's so they put it down up there. So, but the halach is that you're not allowed to do that. Now, so what should you do? You want to keep your place. So before I talk about that, I'll just mention one side possibility, and that is, well, could you just fold down the corner of the page? Is that okay to fold down the corner of a page to hold the place in the sefer? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it is. It's a tshuva, a written tshuva, which is published elsewhere and republished in this sefer here, that he says it's okay. He feels it's okay. And he brings a raya from a Tosfos Pesachim, Daf Samaches, that even things which are normally usher to do with karbonos, because it's considered like avoda b'karba, you're not allowed to do avoda with the behema that you bring as a karbon, but if it's letzorech that behema, you could do it. So he wants to say something, the use of that sefer, I want to be able to come back to my place in that sefer, so it's mutter to do. And it's brought some other poskim, other gedolim also said, he brings down from Rabbi Yashin and from others that say it's okay. On the other hand, it is brought that the Chazon Ish would not do that, felt that that's not the right thing to do, to fold the page out. But what's the best thing to do? To put a bookmark in. Now, we're going to speak soon, Meshem, about the idea of not putting extraneous things into a sefer, but a bookmark, I do not believe, is bechlal that, an extraneous thing, a proper mechubedika bookmark. The Mishnah Berurah in Simcha Chafalov talks about using tzitzis. If tzitzis became this detached, a string of your tzitzis got ripped off, so you don't have to put tzitzis in Geniza, in what we call Shemus. Technically, it's Chefzei Mitzvah. You could even technically throw them out if you wrap them up. Mishnah Berurah says you could use them as a bookmark, use them as a siman in a sefer. Mishnah Berurah is quoting others before him. So the Yaivitz on that, and the Sefer Moritzia, the Yaivitz points out, he says, but it means davka, that you're using it as a bookmark, not just that you're storing it in the sefer. He's very, very clear, very strong about that. He says, he was a lushan that to take something which is mutar bezrika, you're allowed to throw it out, and put it in the sefer ligniza, to store in the sefer, that's a shtus. That's the lashon of Yaivitz. Yaivitz said what was on his heart. He says it's a shtus to put it in the sefer to do that. Shenasa ha-sefer meshamish b'chinim ledover ha-nizrik. The sefer becomes a storage place for something which you're allowed to throw out. So, but to use it as a bookmark, that's okay to do. So anything else, you don't have to, certainly don't rip off your tzitzis for that purpose. That's not okay to do. But you don't have to wait for your tzitzis to rip off. There are plenty of things you could use as a bookmark. There are things called bookmarks that they make. And then they're, you know, a respectable piece of paper. Well, what I'm trying to say is lafuke, some of the things which end up getting used, which are commonly the other thing you find on the base medrash tables in Svarim are tissue boxes. And very common, people put tissues in Svarim as a bookmark, which many speak out is not really appropriate to do, is not a derech kavod for the sefer to put a tissue. But particularly, it's one thing if we put there, you know, right before a shiur, a person puts in a bookmark and goes up, and then he takes it out. But very, very often, you go to this, you take a sefer off the shelf, and there are tissues there which have, you know, been there for a while. In fact, you know, the top of the tissue might be yellow and the bottom is white because it's been sitting there a while, which is not lechara, not covered for the sarim that they should be put back that way, that the tissue should be there. I believe that a tissue is not the appropriate thing to use altogether as a bookmark, but alach has kama b'kama, not to leave it there. So it's good to take, have a piece of paper or a ribbon. Many sarim are bound now with ribbons as bookmarks, sometimes multiple ones. That's great. That's pure. It's their covered. It serves the purpose, etc. And you always have it with you wherever the sefer goes, the ribbon goes. It's a wonderful idea. But otherwise, have something which is mechubadik, a piece of paper or something like that. But to stop put things in a sefer is usher to do. That's brought down in a number of places. There's a pischei tshuva in Reish Pei Beis, Sifka Yitzayim v'Tchamud Yidaniel. Ein lo haniach shum davar b'sefer l'hishtamer shem. You shouldn't put anything into a sefer to, you know, to guard that thing. What about papers that you want to use for, you know, I want to be able to write Divrei Torah on them? Well, that's before that. What about Divrei Torah themselves? So if it's mamish notes that I took on the sugya that I'm learning on this, from this sefer, and I want to have the notes. I don't have a notebook like this, but I want to have the notes to use. So that's okay. You're allowed to put Divrei Torah in a sefer, and particularly, as I said, if it pertains to that sefer, to the yonim of that sefer, that you're allowed to put. Blank paper, so the tshuvas, sefer, Shal's tshuvas, Torah Lishma. By the way, anybody who wrote the sefer, Torah Lishma? So the Mechaber protected it, kept his name concealed because he wanted it to be Torah Lishma. So he didn't write his name. But it's attributed to the Ben Ishchai. It's a strong belief that it was written by the Ben Ishchai. So Shal's tshuvas, Torah Lishma, he writes, Asul is his Simon Shin Vav. And again, most of the marmakomas, most of them, for sure, I got from the sefer Ginsay Chodesh. Also, haniach b'sefer dapim reikim. It's also to put empty pages, blank pages. How many you odim l'ksivas Divrei Torah, which are intended to be used for Divrei Torah? Sheshem yischarik v'lo yishtamish shem l'kach. Maybe you won't end up. It'll end up just sitting there and being and not never being used for Divrei Torah. So he says you shouldn't do that. There is a tshuva for Moshe Tzal and Nigris Moshe in the fourth chelik of Chaim Simenayin Beis where he. Kimat before it says otherwise, he's talking about Hilchas Muksa. It's not a tshuva on Kedusha Sarim, it's a tshuva on Muksa. And he's talking about, is it safer Muksa if you have blank paper? Somebody has blank paper Muksa, that's what he's talking about. And he's going with the shita that it is Muksa. And he talks about, so what are the ramifications then if you have blank paper in a safer? But in that tshuva, he seems to say very clearly that it's okay to put blank papers in Niyar Shehechinam Lichtav Aleim Beyurim Besefer Ein Isser. That it's, you know, it's bimutta to put them there. But even so, a l'chora one has to be careful about this idea of not just putting them there and then, you know, putting the 3-4 papers there and then, you know, it happens very often. I don't think I'm the only one who goes through shiur sometimes with a notebook or a piece of paper. And the shiur might be very engaging and very interesting, but I end up not writing down very much because it's just not practical. You write and you miss while you're writing. You miss half of what's being said or whatever it may be. By the time you realize that he's saying things you really want to record, then it's really too late. And you know. So I got to believe, I said, I'm not the only one who's done this. So if you have blank paper, you put in the safer with the intention of using it, intention of writing, very often it ends up you don't, or certainly not all the papers, and they could end up staying there. So I think Rabbi Moshe might agree that it's technically mutter, but not necessarily the best idea to put blank papers. But certainly other things. Sometimes you open up a safer, frequently you open up a safer, and there's a little a corner of another safer that got ripped off, or a sitter that got ripped off, and somebody thought, okay, where's the best place to be? Gonaze a piece of paper, maybe in a safer, especially if the safer is called Ginzei HaKodesh. What could be better? But it's not true at all. You definitely should not put what we call Seamus, you know, papers of pieces of a safer in a safer. The Daka should be put into Geniza. There's no question about it. She put into what we call a Seamus box, a Seamus receptacle, but not into a safer. He brings here in Ginzei HaKodesh a Rebbe Yashiv is Mekel that if it came from that safer itself, then you could, because it's part of that safer. Maybe the idea also is maybe somebody will tape it back in. Maybe it's certainly if it's a significant piece and if it has writing on it, or printing on it, maybe somebody will tape it back in or something. Or maybe just the person will be able to use it. You know, if half a page is missing, even if you don't have scotch tape to, or if it's Shabbos when it happens, you might put it, just leave it there. Somebody might still use it. But if it's not from that safer, definitely shouldn't be done.
What Kleenex, like the people put Kleenex as bookmarks.
Right, so I would discourage that. Definitely discourage using Kleenex as bookmarks.
It's the same thing. Is it the same thing between the pages versus just putting it in the covers?
Yes, yes. I can't speak for him, but the Svar of the Post can do speak it out that way, yes. That even the binding of the Sefer is part of a Sefer, and shouldn't be put in there either.
What about another Sefer?
A Sefer in a Sefer? Well, so it depends what you mean. I mean, if they're like a very thin pamphlet or something which goes in...
So let's say you have a Sefer that's in your table, you didn't open it to learn yet, and you want to hold the place, so you put it...
Yeah, well, so... trying to remember... I mean, if a Sefer is open and you're... Look at this. I didn't put it... If a Sefer is open and you want to you want to leave the spot and you have to cover it, so it says you could use another Sefer to cover it. I think he brings something specific, so I don't want to say about putting a Sefer just like in a Sefer, but what I would say without being able to quote right now from what he says, I would say that if it's a Sefer of any significant size and you put it in this Sefer, you're not being very kind to the binding of the other Sefer. That's a part of the idea is also to treat Svarim with Kedusha, means to keep them nice and keep the binding. Now, that doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, I remember I had a Rebbe or Shkel, Gabriel Ginsberg, that remember he used to say, the best gift you can give anybody is a new Sefer because his old one got ripped to shreds from use. So, yeah, Avada. I'm not saying when you use a Sefer, you have to use it with kid gloves and make sure you don't, there's nothing wrong with using a Sefer and getting, getting into it, getting into your learning, treating it with COVID, but at the same time, it gets used. That's okay. But on the other hand, you don't want to do things that unnecessarily affect the binding and affect, the Sefer, because that itself is a b'zayin to the Sefer and contributes towards the pages falling out and getting to bigger b'zayinus to the Sefer. So typically, a Sefer and a Sefer is not really the best idea for that. Well, but if you close it on, if you close the Sefer on it, you're, it's not to... Okay. Well, okay, so assuming that they're all same type of Svarim, they're all let's say Achronim, he's learning a Sugya and he takes out the Rishonim or Achronim, takes out Svarim on the Gemara. So they're all Teresh Baal Peh, let's just assume for the moment. Then there's really no problem, you're allowed to pile Svarim on top of the other. There is a discussion in the Poskim, including the Mishnah Berurah in a couple of places, about piling up Svarim to be able to use as a shtender. So I want to be able to stand and learn, or just to raise my Sefer. I don't have any, I want a little bit higher. So can I use a Sefer to elevate another Sefer to learn from? So for that, the Mishnah Berurah says, if the Sefer is there already and I just want to put down a Sefer that I have on top, that for sure is okay to do once the Svarim are there. To bring over Svarim in order to use them to elevate the Sefer I'm learning from, in one place, he brings two deist in the Achronim, Yoshimish Mechilim. In another place, he's Sosim Lakula. So there is what to be some Mechani even to do that, to take over, or for that, to enhance your learning. For that matter, it says also, you're not allowed to use the Sefer, typically, to block the sun. The sun is shining on you, and you're not supposed to use the Sefer to block the sun. But if you're learning and from a specific Sefer, and the sun is disturbing you, then you'd be allowed certainly at least to use that Sefer, it says for sure, to hold it in such a way that it blocks the sun so that you can learn from it better. So to pile Svarim, again, if it's the same Sefer, just to have them in a pile, yes, a reasonably neat pile is okay. There's nothing wrong with piling them. The question will be about levels of Kedusha. I just don't know what the time is. So before
10:02.
Okay. Okay. Choose. Okay, so give me just 1 second, maybe I'll just go straight to that Inyan here. I just want to, so let's talk about the Inyan of putting Svarim on top of Svarim. So this starts from first Gemara in Baba Basra about that there are levels of Kedusha, and you're not allowed to put, it says, the Gemara says in Baruch Shulchan Aruch as well, you're not allowed to put a Nevi'im Uksuvim on top of Torah itself, the Chamish Chumshi Torah. You could put Torah on top of Torah, you can't put Navi Uksuvim on top of Torah, you could put Torah on top of Navi Uksuvim. You can't put Torah Shebaal Peh on top of Nevi'im Uksuvim. Now, I say Nevi'im Uksuvim is certainly Nevi'im written in a kaf, but even the way at least Rov of the Olam Rov Poskim go, even Nevi'im that are published, that are printed. I'm saying it this way with just a little hesitancy because I did hear the name of an Adam Gadol who I don't want to quote him because I didn't hear it from him or ever see it in print, even in his name. But I heard the name of an Adam Gadol that a printed Navi has more Kedusha than a printed Chumash, because a printed Navi you could lay in the Haftarah from and make a brachas over. And you can never do that with a Chumash. You can never get up and lay from a Chumash with the brachas. So I heard a certain name from the Gadol. I haven't been able to substantiate that. But I think the Minhag Olam and the assumption of most poskim is not that way, that a printed Chumash goes on top of a printed Navi and not Fakert, not vice versa. A svarim of Tarsha Baal Peh cannot go on any Tarsha B'Ksav. Now, that means if you have just a Gemara with Mepharshim or a Rishon or Achim, that cannot go in a Torah, cannot go in a Novi or in a Nach. A Chumash with Rashi, or even for that matter with Unkelus or with English, really has the din of a Sefer that has both Tarsha B'Ksav and Tarsha Baal Peh, because the Rashi is Tarsha Baal Peh, and so is the Unkelus even, and so is the certainly the English translation. It's all together Tarsha Baal Peh. So I did hear this. I will quote the name because there's Cullen Chicago of David Zucker. I think they told me the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that he held that a sefer you go to the it has the din of the lowest kedusha. I mean, Chumash with Rashi has the din of the Rashi. It only has the kedusha of a Rashi, or if you have, let's say, a sefer that has in it pages of the parsha and then Gemara, Tarsha Baal Peh, would have it in Tarsha Baal Peh. But most poskim don't treat it that way. Most poskim look at it that a Chumash, even with Rashi, we treat like a Chumash, we treat like Torah, and give it that level. So again, Tarsha, the Torah goes on Navi goes on Tarsha Baal Peh. Now within Tarsha Baal Peh, so it says Al Pidin. Everyone that is seen as maskim, there's no order. Meaning you could have even a Pnei Yeshua on top of a Gemara, or a Chedushe, your own Chedushe, as long as it's Torah. It says, also told me, Rabbi Zucker told me, he had a good friend back in Lakewood when he was, a young Gemara, or a Bacha, whatever, in Lakewood. He used to write a lot, and when his pages, the whole thing would fall on the floor. And his friend with this, we have to pick it up. Nope, it's a Suffolk Torah. Let's pick it up. Just giving, just writing him whether it's has a status of Torah. But assuming you, I'm sure his chiddushim did. I have no question about it. If assuming your chiddushim are Torah, so then they could go on even on a Rishon or Achron, and that could even go on a Gemara. Now, as we said before, handwritten even has a Mila. Rabbi Yashiv held, according to the Ginzei Kodesh, that there is a Mila to be Nizhar, not to put Rishonim or Achronim on a Gemara, and not to put Achronim on Rishonim. And he brings also that Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was very makbid on this, to keep everything separate. But even he brings from Rabbi Yashiv that he's not only Bitaras Maila, it's not Al-Pidin. You could have that. I know I always find that I usually will not be makbid on this, if it's difficult, we'll put, but whenever I'm using the Sefer Ha'aris on a certain Masechta, Rabbi Yashiv Sefer, I find it very hard to put it on the Gemara, because that's Rabbi Yashiv's Chedushim. He said not to put it on, he felt you shouldn't do it. So that's one Sefer I try not to put it on the Gemara, just, lichvodo. But maker, then it's mutter to do that. What about a Siddur? And this is extremely relevant, because in a base medrash, we have Chumash on the table all the time, and Svarim and Siddur. What about a Siddur? So a Siddur is a machlokas, what status has. It definitely should not go on a Chumash. Now I know our Siddurim are compilations of everything. They have Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh, Halachas and Mishnayos and all sorts of things. So there's a Machlok is amongst the poskim that are quoted in the Ginzei HaKodesh, whether it has the status of Nach or it has the status of Torah Shabbat Peh. So the best thing is possible not to put a Siddur. Definitely not on a Chumash, and you could put a Chumash on the Siddur. A Chumash on a Gemara, a Gemara on a Chumash is a Machlok, is today. So I guess one could look at it either way. Either way you go, you have Yesh HaMilismoch, or if you could possibly be Nizer, so it's certainly a need to be Nizer. Now, before the time runs out, I do want to point out one thing, and that is that I've seen many times in many Bati Medrash that, as you said, Svarim are used, Baruch Hashem, we have Svarim, whatever Svarim we need, and they're used, which is Kavaldik. And no one's suggesting for a minute that anybody curtail his use as far to one iota because of anything that was said here tonight. We are suggesting that one take perhaps if you feel that your approach towards Kavaldik's farim could improve. So that's a great thing. That would be a big success if it can improve in any area. But one thing I do find is that in Batei Medrash, often Sfarim, things get put on top of Sfarim, and we didn't speak this out, but it's a never pashut. If you can't put a Navi on a Chumash, or a Gemara on a Navi, you certainly can't put a tissue box on any Sefer, including a Gemara, nor can you put your glasses, even if you're in the middle of learning and you want to go like this, put your glasses down on a Sefer, you cannot do that, or your phone, even if you're recording something or whatever else, cannot go on a Sefer. And certainly, you know, just papers that are lying around the Beis Medrash, flyers about announcing that there's a Tuesday night share coming up, or whatever it may be, those cannot go on Sfarim. And it happens very often, but we, meaning myself and people like me, are guilty of it. But also, what happens on a Friday afternoon or even an evening when the Einam Yehudim staff come in to clean up the Beis Medrash, and Baruch Hashem, they do a wonderful job of straightening things up, but they don't have the sensitivity at all or this awareness or this knowledge, and they'll make all sorts of stacks of things. I've seen this in so many places. They'll stack. I've gone around on Friday afternoon in Chicago, just go around taking the tissue boxes off and the dictionaries that people have, the pencils and pens that people left on the table, taking off the Sfarim. Bein Ayreisi, once where Scheinberg walked into the Beis Medrash in Chavetz Chaim many years ago. He walked, he was going up to Abed Tav and Milche, but he saw and walked right over and took a tissue box off of Sefer. It's Pasha, you don't need a riot. But it happens a lot, and it's something which we have to do our best if we could somehow educate them, but at least educate ourselves that we shouldn't do it, and when we see it, we should undo it. And it's not just in the Beis Medrash, unfortunately, in people's homes too. Sfarim tend to get things on top of it. Now, not putting something in a Sefer means not this way, and not this way either. Meaning, so when you have a Sfarim shrank, Baruch Hashem, many shelves of Sfarim, I challenge most people to go home and check if, you know, unless you're very careful about this, it's very likely that there are things lying paper, your kids' papers from schools, or your grandkids' papers from schools, or whatever else. Maybe it's the cleaning lady who put it there, and maybe it's not. But very often, there are things on top of Sfarim, Sfarim standing up on the shelves, there are a lot of things on top of it, and that should be something also that one should try to be very nisar on. And if you go home tonight, and maybe make it a point to check the Sfarim on the shelves and see if that there's any tikkun that could be made there.
Is there any kedusha to a digital
system like you have a sitter? There's no kedusha in the sense of the topics that we've discussed. Obviously you shouldn't pull up the words in a Beis HaKiseh or something like that, but there's no inherent kedusha. No, and even in terms of erasing, it's a whole different story.
Let's say it's a daf of Gemara, you could put something on top of it.
I would venture to say yes. That's yes. That's not. Touching them, their hands aren't washed. It's a very good point. I mean, they talk about not to worry about a guy touching food before Negelbas because it doesn't have Ruach Ra, but this is not Ruach Ra. This is Pashet Nikios. That's a good point, but I guess that'd be very hard to implement, probably. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in the world of gloves, you know, everybody's wearing gloves all over the place in the medical world and all sorts of worlds. So why can't we? And in some places they do. They wear gloves. Talk. I don't know if they do over here. No, the guy cleans up, wear gloves. That might not be a bad idea. We could tell him. Okay. In any case, some of these topics are things that people can implement and have an increased awareness of the chashivas.
One time I was by Rabbi Yosef's house. So there's about a table this size, and the entire thing was covered with open from like three layers. Like, you know, it must have been 75 swarm open. So I go and look there. So they say, "Don't touch anything, go chespo." He's holding the whole thing. Don't touch anything. He knows exactly which way everything's open. Don't touch anything.